Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hello there. Thank you so much for joining me. On this show, we will be discussing disappointment. And not just being let down, but facing serious challenges and coming up short time and time again. But we aren't staying down, we're getting up, and we're talking about resilience and how you can use life's blows as fuel to propel your life forward. There will be no taking a dive here and staying down for the count. It's important to expose the challenge from all angles and then strive for a solution and a plan of action. Regardless of your situation, we can all identify with being challenged, facing adversity, falling short, and harboring fear and resentment. Ready to break through, take it on the chin, and beat the count? So you encounter your first trial, followed by tribulation, and realize that adulting is hard. It may take a little more effort than what was previously communicated to you. You know, when all you wanted to do was get out on your own and make your own decisions for yourself. Sound familiar? We've all been there. It's a rite of passage, if you will. Then life delivers a blow, and you realize with independence comes responsibility. So you handle it the best you can, and then you restart your journey. Out of what feels like nowhere, here comes another. Blow by blow, your confidence begins to crumble, and your ideas of a successful and rewarding future seem distant and unrealistic. Instead of moving full speed ahead on your journey of life, you're tentative and reserved. You become jaded and calloused, believing you don't deserve the best, since up till now, you've been given the worst. It's time to rethink this whole thing. You fervently erase your goals and your dreams, and you replace them with the status quo and less than your true potential. Life gave up on you and your abilities, and so have you. What? Are you seriously going down that easy? Who knew you were such an unworthy opponent, weak, scared, and easily sold? Where is the challenge? Where is the fight? And where is your resilience? No, thank you. I won't accept this as my true potential. I deserve all that life has to offer and more, and I won't let this failure or the next define who I am and what I'm capable of. There's the spirit. Now get up and dust yourself off, adjust your crown, and let's get moving. Disappointment is a tricky emotion to deal with because every day you can bring about new situations to be disappointed over. Sometimes disappointments come at a rapid speed. Sometimes disappointments are truly huge and life-changing. Then there are those that are small, annoying, or simply just make you cringe. Meanwhile, difficult times around the world add to our daily stressors and can heighten your reaction to negative news. We're stressed out. I found a little help from Laura Sue Brockway in 11 Ways Emotionally Intelligent People Overcome Disappointment. This includes her professional opinion and some of the professionals that she also follows. Love it. We all need different ideas, positive alternatives to deal with disappointment. Number one, take a moment to wallow. Who's ever told you that? You may find your sense of calm more easily if you allow yourself not to be calm for the initial shock or disappointment. When you get bad news, take a moment. Let it sink in. This comes from Tina Gilbertson. She's a psychotherapist and author of Constructive Wallowing, How to Beat Bad Feelings by Letting Yourself Have Them. Also, find a word for how you feel, such as disappointed, resentful, or afraid. Labeling feelings helps us make sense of our experience. Let the waves of disappointment wash over you. Speak out loud, if only to yourself, and honor your emotions. Experiencing your feelings will allow you to make a cool-headed decision about what to do next. Number two, do a reality check. Is it really that bad? After feeling the first blows of disappointment, step back and assess. It can seem like the biggest, most horrible thing that could possibly happen, but humans tend to dramatize too. Feelings are real and are important to recognize, but thoughts are not always the truth, says psychotherapist Sarah Mandel. When the initial upset is over, try to look objectively at your problems to help separate fact from fiction and reduce negative self-talk. Number three, go high when hit with a low blow. Though we don't get to choose the situations about which we feel disappointed, we have a lot of choice regarding how we respond to the disappointment, says Tricia Andor. We can choose what we do, say, and think about any given situation. It's important to head disappointment up at the pass before things turn into irritation, anger, resentment, jealousy, or bitterness. Number four, don't stew in negativity. Like any other emotion, disappointment has a spectrum. This comes from licensed counselor and life coach Monty Drenner. The secret to dealing with disappointment is not to let it grow into stronger emotions like discouragement and depression. The longer I stew in disappointment, the more likely I will allow myself to become discouraged, which is even more difficult to get through. The longer I'm discouraged, the greater the chances of getting depressed. Turn the emotional tables on disappointment and always look for ways to grow from it. Turn this negative emotion into a positive emotion like determination. Number five, avoid anxious reactions by lowering stress. Find a sweet spot for fast anxiety relief, such as meditating, walking, listening to music, taking a long bath, or watching a comedy. Your general state of stress and anxiety can add an extra layer of sensitivity and make you more prone to agitation. Stress is on a continuum from zero, which is no stress at all, to 10, the most stressed out you've ever been. This comes from Elizabeth Lombardo. She's the author of Better Than Perfect, 7 Strategies to Crush Your Inner Critic and Create a Life You Love. When we're at a 7 or higher out of 10, we tend to negative filter, which is focus almost exclusively on the negatives and catastrophize. That's making things much bigger than they are. Find things to do every day that keep you calmer so that you don't feel it's the end of the world every time you're disappointed by an outcome. Number 6, put things in perspective. Sports journalist Sam Weinman, he's the author of Win at Losing, How Our Biggest Setbacks Can Lead to Our Greatest Gains, has interviewed many public figures and mental health professionals about disappointments. The psychologist, Dr. Jim Lohr, talks about framing events in our lives in a constructive way. His point is that our interpretation of what happens in many ways is more important than what actually happens. If that's the case, Laura says, in any disappointment, we need to find something useful that we can build on, or that at least lets us see even the smallest positive. The more we can learn to frame in a way that's constructive and positive, the more we'll be honest, the better we'll be able to process disappointment. Number 7, try not to take other people's reactions and opinions to heart. Whew, this is a tough one. But differing points of view are not in themselves insults. Some people feel attacked when someone disagrees with them or implies that they've done something wrong. This comes from Jill Whitney. She's a marriage and family therapist. Wise people know that every person has a unique perspective, and guess what? That's okay. Not every person we deal with in life or on social media is wise, but we can all work on becoming secure in our own points of view so that others do not rattle us with theirs. And we can also lighten up about some of our own views. Be open to new ideas and facts. Don't feel a need to always be right. It's also important to own your own mistakes and apologize when called for. Number 8, limit others from dumping their disappointments. While sharing and being heard is important, try to stay clear from people who make a big deal out of everything that goes wrong. You may know someone who takes everything as a personal affront. He's sure that the other driver cut him off on purpose and that his boss has it out for him and that his spouse forgot to buy milk because she's being passive-aggressive and because she doesn't care about him. People who put a negative spin on everything often spew the negativity on the people around them. Sometimes you have to limit contacts and when exposed, let negative news go in one ear and right out the other. Especially when trying to process your own disappointments. How many times have you been sucked into another person's conversation and all of a sudden, what was a good mood, now you're angry and disappointed for them? Now you want to rally around them and fight their fight, which, as it turns out, isn't a fight at all. Number 9, write down your distress. This can help you get it out of your system, says Diane Rabb. She is a creative expert and author of Healing with Words and Writing for Bliss. Journaling is a good way to start because it can help you express concerns and emotions about your disappointment in a non-threatening way. The journal is non-judgmental and actually will listen. Write free, not even lifting the pen from the page until everything flows out. It can be a great way to grow, learn, and transform from your disappointment. Writing can be used to release pain and to also help us rebuild strength. What about number 10? Develop positive thinking muscles. When we get stuck focusing on bad news, we lose sight of what is right in our lives and the world around us. Our brains are fundamentally wired to focus on the negative in our lives. It's part of our self-preservation to look for potential threats in the world around us. This comes from Louise Asbin, a life coach specializing in positive thinking and emotional intelligence. That wiring is old, and in today's world, it doesn't serve us as we get pummeled with negativity at every turn. Our brains are also neoplastic, meaning we can rewire them to look for what is right in the world. A gratitude list of 10 to 20 items every day can help us resist those negative feelings in our mind. She suggests you list everything from the new job to that delicious morning coffee, and you will see your knee-jerk reaction to negative be transformed. Number 11, breathe your way to a clear mind. The emotional center in our brain can take over our ability to think straight in stressful situations. It can send stress hormones through the system, increase your heart rate and your blood flow, so that you have that fight or run type situation. The simple act of taking in a few deep breaths will dissipate that cortisol, which is our stress hormone. Through oxygenating your blood, you will get back to thinking mode versus reaction mode. Breathing can literally help you increase feelings of well-being and peace. Remember, while we cannot always control the disappointments that come our way, we can seek to alleviate and counteract this impact in our daily lives. But if the burden is too heavy to carry alone, reach out to a friend. Talk to a professional. Look for support. Life is full of challenges, and as strong as you are or as strong as you become, they're unavoidable. What can change is your reaction to any situation. In the midst of a fight on the ground, it's easy to cast blame, avoid responsibility, and walk away defeated, leaving so many life lessons on the table. The advantage only comes from changing your perspective. On the ground, you only see what's in front of you and only a few feet ahead. You can't predict future trials, but you can arm yourself with knowledge to help you deal with them more effectively. Knowledge can be coming to terms with what happened, what role you played, the responsibility you owned, and how you eventually handle the situation, allowing you to move forward. It's the knowledge of knowing yourself. Let's unhook the layers of our past and spread them out so that we can see them from every single angle. In a quiet place, with pen and paper for reference, revisit a challenge in your past. Take time reliving what led up to the event. Then, what actually happened? Who was present? And how things were handled? It may be helpful to visualize being a third-party spectator, not unlike Ebenezer Scrooge. Dickens describes Scrooge early in the story. The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheek, stiffened his gait, made his eyes red, his thin lips blue, and spoke out shrewdly in a grating voice. Towards the end of the novel, Scrooge is transformed by the spirits into a better person who changed his ways to become more friendly and less miserable. Flashbacks of Scrooge's early life show how he had been wronged and what could have caused his heart to harden. Most importantly, he was shown how his actions affected others, and as a result, he vowed to turn over a new leaf, being more kind and more generous. So often the world celebrates independence, being self-sufficient and being strong enough to go it alone, self-helped and self-medicated. As the director of multiple support groups, I want to push back on this new movement. We need each other. From the beginning of time, humans have needed other humans for survival in a host of different ways, spiritually, physically, and mentally. Let experience be our guide. That doesn't refer to constantly failing. It means to consult and follow a mentor who has experience to guide the way. Today, in a world of fictitious status updates painting the rosiest of pictures, it's easy to think that you're alone in your pain, in your challenges, and in your grief. But you're not. Even behind the glamorous smile, blurry filters, and doe ears, people are struggling with life. Trusting someone and exposing your vulnerability can help you forge deep and meaningful friendships that help you and help others. I want you to meet Debbie Jordy. She struggles with insecurities and self-doubt. She's raising two children with special needs. She's battling bulimia and multiple sclerosis. She thought she was alone until she reached out. Now the author of Eight Fingers and Eight Toes, Accepting Life's Challenges, she's passing on some life lessons to us. Her first one is ask for help. accepting and overcoming challenges with Miller syndrome, lung disease, and autism. Heather and Logan Madison. When my kid's father deserted us, he left me alone to raise two young children with multiple disabilities. I cried for weeks. Sometimes all I could do was curl into a ball on the floor and sob. I felt so alone and scared. Whenever the sadness overwhelmed me, I found that if I ate tasty food, I felt better, even if it was only for a few minutes. At first, eating for comfort got me through difficult moments, but after a while, this habit turned into addiction that caused me to develop bulimia, which is binging and purging. In one desperate moment, I found myself on the bathroom floor exhausted and looking at the toilet seat covered in blood and vomit. I knew I needed help. I called the eating disorder clinic at the hospital and asked for help. When you ask for help, you discover you are not alone. Some people think getting help is a show of weakness. I've learned it takes strength to ask for help. You are so much stronger than you think you are. Getting help and being able to overcome bulimia was another lesson I learned about the value of sharing our challenges and the lessons we've learned with each other so we can all overcome our challenges more easily. We all go through them. Some you can see and most you can't. The only shoes you can walk in are your own. With compassion, courage, and understanding, we can walk together side by side. That was a quote from Michelle L. Sullivan. Debbie also talks about setting personal boundaries. In addition to the unconscious, unhealthy habits you use to get through challenges, too often you put other people first. Instead of caring for yourself, you help others with their hardships. Helping others is wonderful as long as you don't neglect your own needs, avoid your own challenges, or take on their pain and problems as your own. When you do this, you often feel as bad as the person you're helping. You don't realize that you're acting as if the only way you can feel happiness is to solve their problems, so they feel better first. Over time, putting yourself last prevents you from helping both you and them. Learning to set personal boundaries is critical in taking care of yourself. Personal boundaries are emotional and physical limits you establish to protect yourself from giving too much of yourself to others and from being taken advantage of or abused. Your boundaries help you support who you are, what you think, and how you feel from the thoughts and feelings of others. Making a conscious choice to look inside yourself to find out what you need to be happier and healthier, learn where your limits are, and to set your boundaries will help you to overcome your challenges and create a more fulfilling life. Debbie also says, make conscious choices. You're usually upset when your loved ones or friends are unhappy and facing hard times. You want to help them feel better. Sometimes you think you're helping someone by giving them advice. Haven't we all done that? You often do this unconsciously when all they really wanted you to do was listen. For years, I thought I was helping my son Logan when he was depressed by giving him constant advice. His pain became my pain. Feeling desperate to stop his suffering, I was blind to the reality that he just wanted someone to listen. Our relationship spiraled downward because he didn't want advice but wasn't able to tell me. Finally, I noticed that I was often feeling stressed, overworked, or sad when I met with him. Feeling like this leads to acting unconsciously. Instead of caring for myself, I put helping Logan first, which didn't help him at all. Overcome challenges and create a fulfilling life by making conscious choices. Choose to look inside and find what you need to be happier and healthier. Find out where your limits are and set boundaries. Unconscious habits include ignoring your feelings, emotions, and desires. When you say yes when you don't want to do something, instead of saying no, you end up having less self-trust and feeling deprived, angry, and unhappy. You end up unconscious. You become more conscious when you ask for help, listen to your body, set personal boundaries, and make conscious choices to make yourself important first. Remember, by taking care of yourself, you're more able to help others. How about accepting challenges creates better health? Did you think about it that way? You've probably heard the saying, what you resist persists. Feeling constant resistance to your problems causes unhappiness and disease. Do you recognize symptoms of resistance? You know, when you have that knot in your throat, those tense shoulders, or that fear running through your whole body? These symptoms are resistance. Remember the last time you felt tired, and instead of stopping for a moment to rest, closing your eyes, or acknowledging how you felt, you forced yourself to keep going, sometimes even working harder. Remember that negative mood you felt coursing through your whole body? These symptoms are resistance. Do you notice as long as you're resisting the feelings you're having or the situation that is occurring, these symptoms of resistance just persist or even get worse? You're not alone in feeling resistance to problems. We all resist hardships. Unconscious about the resistance I was feeling during my challenges, my health was severely affected. After years of symptoms, in 2009, doctors diagnosed me with having MS. Although doctors don't know the cause of MS, stress exacerbates the symptoms. Since then, making more conscious decisions to take better care of myself by making my needs important has created a positive impact on my health. Don't let stress and other forms of resistance cause disease for you. Look after yourself now. Listen to your body. As you learn to listen to your body, you'll start making better choices to value yourself. One such choice is having boundaries. Creating boundaries will help you feel stronger and safer to develop self-trust. When you trust yourself, you no longer feel alone. You'll know when you can depend on yourself to take care of you. Sometimes the choice isn't easy. In fact, it's very hard. You only have so much time and limited energy in a day. Sometimes you have to choose between helping a sick mom, a friend who's in the hospital, or taking care of your own well-being. If your tank is empty in that instance, it's better for your health to put you in the same class of importance as you're putting your mother or your friend. Using self-honesty is the most important step at that moment. Ask yourself, what would I do if I loved myself? What do I need physically and emotionally the most right now? Sometimes your answer is to do something for yourself at that moment instead of helping someone else. Self-care is important. Having MS taught me the importance of self-care. Once I learned that the chronic fatigue and other discomforts I was feeling were symptoms of MS, and that they intensified when I felt the stress of resistance, I knew I had to take charge of my health. I began to listen to my body and take care of my needs by setting firmer boundaries. Now, I say no when my body and emotional well-being is telling me to say no instead of saying yes. Caring for myself includes doing activities I love that also reduce stress. As a result of setting your boundaries, some people will be unhappy with your choices. Taking better care of yourself means letting people be mad at you. Even though that's uncomfortable at first, it does get easier. Caring for your needs first isn't easy, but as you feel better emotionally and physically, it does become easier. We are creatures of habit. You know that's true. The more you practice a habit, the easier time you have implementing it on a regular basis. Always keep in mind that you are the one who feels the physical and emotional impacts when you don't care for yourself first. When someone is unhappy with your choice, those feelings pass. When you get run down from always putting others first, your health suffers and you feel discomfort longer, sometimes even the rest of your life. Accept your feelings and show yourself love by putting yourself first. Making yourself important creates better health, more happiness, and more conscious decisions to make better choices and overcome your challenges. An important part of your wellness is making conscious decisions to build better habits. Listening to your body and your emotions are important steps to making conscious choices. You create habits in every category of your life: relationships with yourself and others, work and nature, your body, and how and what you do every day. When you think about your habits, you probably think about your health, your weight, your exercise, or lack of. And most likely, you understand that eating healthier and getting regular exercise is a huge part of building healthy habits. Choosing to exercise regularly and eating healthier helps you feel better physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Developing healthy habits in both of these areas helps build good self-esteem, relieve stress, and create more energy to face challenges. Finding exercise that you enjoy doing, it makes it so much easier to follow through, building a regular habit of exercising. Your personality plays a big part in choosing how, where, and when you want to exercise. Listen, you're not alone in your struggles to exercise and eat healthy. Life gets busy and there doesn't seem to be enough time to exercise or to shop and prepare healthy foods for people. Balancing everything can be hard. When I was a single mother, I made a New Year's resolution to do low-impact aerobics at a gym no less than 3 times a week. Having class begin at a definite time helped me follow through, and I love exercising with other people. After 2 years, I decided to teach aerobics. This made sense to me because I could get paid to exercise. You are conditioned to believe that taking care of yourself is selfish. Well, caring for yourself first is a good kind of selfish. You feel better, creating more capacity to help others without feeling resistance to what you're doing. I became a certified aerobics instructor and taught for 30 years. I often tell people that I cheated in building the healthy habit of exercise on a regular basis because I got paid to do so. In 2012, 3 years after being diagnosed with MS, I retired from teaching aerobics. Exercising at home took less time and energy. Most likely, you probably face many situations in life that you can't control. Exercise and diet are two areas where choices and actions are available to have some sort of control. Take control of these areas of your life, and you'll feel better when facing the challenges for which you have control. We are listening to some life lessons from Debbie Jordy. Isn't that great? You know, you think about exercise, and you think so structured, like it has to be a gym. You have to do it a certain time every day. It has to be cardio versus weightlifting. But really, moving your body more intentionally, more often, is the goal. So what do you like to do? Maybe you like to get up in the morning with a good podcast and take a nice walk, walk the dog, exercise that way. Maybe you like to pick up sticks in your yard. Wow, that bending at the waist and doing it all throughout your yard could be really healthy for you. So don't get hung up with having it being so structured and methodical. There's nothing I can do about most of the challenges my children, Heather and Logan, face. As a result, taking control of my exercise and diet has always given me a sense of control. Having one area of my life that I feel I can control with limits has helped me stay on top of all the other situations I can't control. Diet and exercise may not be your area of strength. If not, find the area that is. Perhaps yours is keeping your house or car clean, making your yard beautiful, excelling in your work, or nurturing meaningful relationships in your life. Whatever it is, make a conscious effort to take control in one area of your life. You'll feel better about everything. I hope you've been able to pick up some tips, some positive alternatives to really help you deal with disappointment. It is inevitable in life. There are things that are not going to go your way, and sometimes it feels like pressure from all angles just keep layering on top and on top. And before you throw up your hands and say, "That is it, I am out of here," push back. Push back, peel back those layers, unhinge, unhook all those different layers, lay them out in front of you. Perception is reality, and how you see things will make all the difference. Lay them out in front of you. Start looking at them for what they are. We are all dealing with something, and it may feel like you keep getting most of the blows, but there is someone else that feels your pain. So don't keep it to yourself. Reach out, talk with someone. Find someone that's already been through that. Instead of focusing on how to avoid the blow that life will inevitably deliver, we're focusing on rebounding in this show. I hope you felt that. How to face the challenge, embrace the lesson, find support from others, and fuel your journey with knowledge. It's all about the knowledge. Ready to start moving forward again? More empowered than before? If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they are not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, when the pressure gets too great, instead of taking a dive, reach out and embrace the wisdom of human connections. Empower yourself with the knowledge to fuel your resilience. You have what it takes to rebound and to lead the charge. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you, how I wound up here. All I needed was a rock that I could lean on. All you needed was some wind beneath your wings. We might be seeing things from different points of view.